Hi, everyone. I know recently we announced we were going to 2 episodes a week and then 3 episodes a week. But you know what? There are just too many episodes. So we are going to back to 5 episodes a week. Still a reduction from 7, but there were just too many interviews scheduled, and I didn't want to make all the authors wait for too long. So I hope you can keep up with me. Listen to 1 a week as you're on your way to work or on your way home or putting your kids to bed or whatever it is you're doing. Moms don't have time to read books now 5 times a week.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Today's episode has been sponsored by Serialbox. Serialbox delivers addictive book content in short listen or read installments designed to fit into today's fast-paced mobile lifestyle. Switch between listening and reading with a single click, picking up right where you left off. Learn more at serialbox.com, serialbox.com. I am so excited to be here with Gretchen Rubin today. Gretchen is the best-selling author of many books, including the #1 New York Times bestseller, The Happiness Project. She's also written Happier at Home, The 4 Tendencies, Better Than Before, and her latest book, Outer Order, Inner Calm. Her books have sold over 3.5 million copies worldwide in more than 30 languages. Gretchen hosts the podcast Happier with Gretchen Rubin, which she co-hosts with her sister, Elizabeth Kraft. She hosts video courses, has spoken at 200-plus events, including TEDx conferences, and has appeared in The Today Show, Oprah's Super Soul Sunday, and many other TV shows. A former lawyer and Supreme Court Justice Clerk to Sandra Day O'Connor, she currently lives in New York with her husband and 2 daughters. So welcome, Gretchen. Thanks so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Oh, I'm so happy to be talking to you.
So you've achieved so much at this point. Your pile of books is sitting here next to us. You have a podcast, the books, you've spoken everywhere, you've done all these things. You started as a Supreme Court Justice Clerk.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. Oh, yeah. After that gig.
Yeah.
So what took you from there to this sort of new realm of self-improvement and wanting to help everyone else with all the things that you've learned on your own?
Well, as you said, I started out my career in law. And so and for all the wrong reasons, all the classic mistakes. It's a great education. I'm good at research and writing. I can change my mind later. It's good preparation for other things. And so I was clerking on the Supreme Court. And I think that part of me always wanted to be a writer because I did everything that a person would do to prepare to be a writer. I majored in English. I always wrote tons of papers instead of taking exams, all that kind of thing. I wrote a novel for credit in law school. That should have been a clue. But at that time, weirdly enough, I didn't see a place for myself in the writing world. So I knew I didn't want to be a novelist or a playwright or a poet. I knew I didn't want to be an academic writer. And I knew I didn't want to be a journalist of any kind. And I don't know. I had always read fiction. I didn't really read nonfiction. And I didn't think of the ways that I could write nonfiction. And so I just didn't see a place for myself, I think, in the writing world. And then when I was clerking, I had this epiphany where I was like on my lunch break and walking around. And I thought, what am I interested in that everyone else in the world is interested in? Just sort of as a rhetorical question for my own amusement. And I thought, well, power, money, fame, sex. And it was like, power, money, fame, sex. And I became obsessed with power, money, fame, sex. And I started doing all this research and taking notes, which is something I do all the time. But this was just growing and growing and growing. And finally, I thought, this is the kind of thing somebody would do to write a book. And then I thought, I could write that book. And then I had the idea that maybe I would try to switch to writing. And so I got a book from the bookstore called something like How to Write and Sell Your Nonfiction Book Proposal and Just Follow the Directions. And so that was my first book, Power, Money, Fame, Sex. And you met my first editor, Greer
yes,
Kessel
I
Hendricks,
did.
Who's
yes.
now famous as a novelist of the, what Anonymous Girl and the...
The Wife Between Us.
The Wife Between Us. So that's just like fun. And then I wrote a biography of Winston Churchill and a biography of JFK and this weird art book about called Profane Waste, which is why owners destroy their own possessions, which is something that obsessed me in law school. And then I started writing the books about kind of happiness and habits. And from the outside, they look very different. But on the inside, they all feel very related to me because they're all about human nature. And that's really my subject. So I'm always looking at a different aspect of human nature. So to me, they all feel like of a kind, even though from the outside, I see that people are sort of like, there's my writing breaks in half, where half of it is like after happiness. But then the other part was also about all those things as well.
Huh. I loved The Happiness Project. I remember reading it when it came out, and as like a frenzied mom in New York City, I like could see myself in your
shoes.
Well,
exactly. We live in the same neighborhood. Like, so you're like, I know that crosstown bus. Exactly. I've been stuck on that crosstown bus. Yeah.
It's so true. So my question really, you dug into this topic so deeply, right? Especially for the first, like, let's just take the first book.
Yeah.
After you wrote it, did it really help? Do you feel like
yes.
I felt so much happier? All these tips have really paid off.
You know, I think the distinction I would make is like, I'm still have the same nature. Like
right.
if I'm lying in bed at night and I'm trying to fall asleep, like I'm come back to the same place. But my experience of my life truly is so much happier. Like I have so much more fun. I have so much more adventures. I have more friends. I have more excitement. I make better decisions about how to use my time and my energy and my money. I have less things that make me feel guilty or anxious or angry or annoyed. I have a very kind of short temper. So a lot of what I do is aimed at like being able to stay calm mm-hmm. and being, you know, I feel better. Yes, because I think studying it really just helped me understand the consequences of the kind of decisions that I was making, sometimes mindfully and sometimes unconsciously. So like a good example is, should I go to my college reunion? It's like, it's kind of a pain. I don't know who else is going. It's expensive. I'm going to have to make a hotel reservation. Like, is it going to be fun? Was it that fun last time? And now I'm like, hey, look, all the research shows and ancient philosophers agree, relationships are a key to happiness. Anything that broadens or deepens relationships is going to make you happier. I should definitely go to my college reunion. Now, I get it that some people hate college reunions, fine. But for me, I kind of like reunions. It's like, weigh that in and think, like, is this the kind of thing that's likely to make you happier? And I'm like, yeah, because I'll reconnect with old friends and old memories and I'll probably have a great time. So.
Did you go? Did you?
Oh, yeah. I started out in one class but graduated in another class. So I go to both of those reunions.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's an important tip. They will let you go to any reunion as long as you pay. You can go to any reunion you want. It doesn't have to be your year. And I go to my law school reunion and my husband's law school reunion because I'm so friends with so many people in his class. Our law school, Yale Law School is so small. We knew a lot of the same people. So I'm going to a reunion like, and then I go to my high school reunions, so I go to reunions all the time. So I do like them. I get that some people don't like them. The point is just like, should you go out of the way to go to that wedding? Should you make the trip to see your friend's new baby? Should you make the effort to go to the funeral? Should you show up to that after work cocktail party? It's like, on balance, if you're trying to decide, relationships tend to make people happier. And so in the end, that's probably going to be a good choice.
I love this because I can be very indecisive about things like that.
Yeah, but it's hard sometimes to decide.
I'm like asking people, what do you think? Well, I don't know. And then I usually second guess my decisions.
Yeah.
Like I book the whole trip and then I'm like, I don't know what's coming up.
I know. So here's another good question. Choose the bigger life.
I was just gonna bring that up from your new book about how you were debating getting a dog
yes.
and you were like, choose the bigger life. And I loved that because it's like,
because if
always
you,
expand, right?
Yeah.
It's basically.
Because you're right though, because you can be indecisive because it's like, the pros and the cons just sometimes weigh.
Right.
You know, they just balance.
Right.
And you're like, I don't know, it's going to be massively inconvenient, but will it be worth it? I don't know.
Yeah.
So choose the bigger life sometimes helps with decision making,
yes.
I find.
And even like, will I be glad afterwards that I went?
Yes. Yes.
Not the, yes. Will it be worth the schlep?
Yes. That, wait, what's that called? There's actually a psychological term for that. It's like retrospect. I don't know.
Hindsight bias.
I'm
pulling my psychology.
This is like, there's rosy prospection, which this is not. I forget, but it's.
Something.
Yeah.
There's something to it.
There's a word for that.
Happier at Home, your next book. What tips can you give from that book in general for stressed, busy parents, like the way you found yourself a while ago?
Well, the main point is that I think for most people, home is at the heart of happiness. And so it really is worth thinking about how could you make your home more pleasant, more comfortable, a place of kind of, I think if you live with a family, it's like, how do you have like tenderness and affection? It's very easy, especially when you have little kids, to like sort of feel like you spend all your time like yelling and reminding and, you know, doing the most minor, juggling the calendar. It feels sort of, you know, soul crushing, but it has to be done perfectly. I feel like it's like a paralegal.
Yes.
It's not that it's hard, but it's like, you cannot leave that 4-year-old on the street corner. I mean, like that, you know, and so it has to be done perfectly. So it's hard. So a couple of things that I learned from that book that really made a difference that were also didn't take much time, energy, or money. One is that, and almost everything I talk about is something that you could do just by yourself with no one else's cooperation, because the sad fact
is
you can't get other, you can't give people homework, you can't get them to do it. But in my case, my family, I said, what if we all tried to make a habit of giving each other really warm hellos and goodbyes, because I feel like we're not acknowledging each other. We're just sort of staying absorbed in whatever we're doing. And it's kind of a lonely feeling when you come home and nobody seems to really care, or when you're leaving and no one seems to really notice. And everybody really, I have to say, got on board with that. And so now it's like, you know, you get a proper hello, a kiss, whoever's home comes to you. And now that we have a dog, I'm like, that's the bar. I should be at least as happy to see my husband as my dog is happy to see my husband, you know. But that's something you can do where it does create an atmosphere of tenderness, which I think is very nice. A thing that I love from that book that I'm still obsessed with is the sense of smell, because that is a pleasure that we don't have to plan it. It doesn't cost anything. There's no calories. You can't bookmark it for later. You just have to enjoy it right now. But it's such a source of pleasure if you dial into it. I actually took a perfume class at Pratt Institute. Yeah, because I just wanted to have my appreciation for scent heightened, because it is so, like, if you just ignore it, it's as if it just goes away. And if you pay attention to it, it can really become much more of your conscious experience. And it's can be so wonderful. Mm-hmm. A friend gave me some hyacinths, and I'm like, that may be my very favorite smell in the whole world, is the smell of hyacinth flowers.
Thanks to this other author I had on, Beth Ricinati, who wrote a book called Braided, A Journey of 1,000 Hollas, inspired me to start making challah on Fridays.
Forget how
the bread tastes. Like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But our home on Fridays, I haven't done it yet, and it's a Friday, but it smells just like, it's amazing. And
well, that's such a cozy, lovely feeling. Yeah, that's great. That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
But now I have even more data.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So your latest book, Outer Order, Inner Calm, gives a whole new set of tips, which I completely relate to, about how to keep things in order. And I feel like, you know, you said there are different types of people and it doesn't always make people feel calm to have an uncluttered space. But after I read your book, I like took everything off this bulletin board in front of me. Yes.
Oh, good.
Because I was like, you know what? It started off blank, and I had like holiday cards, and I know it's March, you know?
Yes. I'm so happy to hear that, because my fantasy for this book, because it's written in this like very playful, quick way, like you can just feed through this book. My fantasy is that if you just read like half of it, you would just throw it over your shoulder and go running to a medicine cabinet or something. So the idea that you were like, I've got to clean up my bulletin board. That's perfect. That's exactly right. It's supposed to be. After I recorded the audiobook, my director emailed me a picture of her office before and after, because after I left, she cleaned out her whole office.
So funny.
Because she just heard me record. I was like, is she even really paying attention to what I'm saying? Or is she just listening to see if I'm mispronouncing words? Which I was.
Turns
out. But good. Oh, I'm so excited, because your bulletin board looks gorgeous.
Oh,
it's
thanks.
Like a beautiful deep blue with just a few things. Excellent. Yes.
I really appreciate also the part when you said, are you in the season of stuff?
Yes.
Because, you know, I have two little kids. I think we're officially out of the stroller now for good. It's been in like in the basement for a while, but there's still so much, you know, little hats and gloves and like just so much stuff. And you said parents of young children have to deal with a lot of stuff, and that stuff often creates clutter. If you're irritated by all this clutter, remember it will pass. Although at one time keeping a stroller in the hallway drove me crazy. Now I think back with intense nostalgia. Ah, remember those days when we had a baby in a stroller?
I know, it is true.
So how do you get through it in the moment? If you're one of these people like me, and I think like you, who likes every... who functions better when things around them are in order.
Yes.
When you have so many external factors weighing in on you.
Yeah. That is hard. I think that is hard. No, like we had a giant plastic slide in the middle of our... I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't... It just kind of was just an irritant, you know, just that it was out of place. One thing is, I don't know if you feel this way, but often the things that are precious to our children are precious to us. And anything that we associate with our children is precious. And that can make it hard for people to let go of things. And so maybe you have 50 stuffed animals that are just all over the apartment, but your child only really plays with three. And yet you're like, but what about this one? We got this at that birthday party. And oh, she was so excited to get this one. And oh, she gave this one a funny name. And you know, it's like each one is precious. What I found is I got to get rid of things pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Because the longer I have them, the more sentiment it attaches. And then it's more deep into their early childhood. And so then it has that layer. So I'm like, eliminate as fast as you can. So there was a period, my two daughters are very far apart in age. They're 6 years apart. So we had a lot of stuff for a long time because we were like, we're just waiting for the one to get big enough to play with like the Fisher Price farmhouse or whatever. And then we did a massive thing and I'm like, I got to get rid of this stuff now or it's going to be really, really hard to get rid of it later. And so let's really pick the best things, the things that we were going to keep forever because they're that good and that precious and give all the things away. So the season of stuff is like, stay on top of it. Don't let it accumulate. And don't do something like, oh, I'll just put it in a box and put it in the attic or take it to my summer house or, you know, because then it just becomes this gigantic, festering pile of stuff. Or like people who are like, I can't decide what of my child's to keep, so I'll just put it all in boxes and figure it out later. Well, you're never going to feel like figuring it out. Figure it out now and only keep the things that you want to keep.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes we all have stuff we need to get off our chests. Even if we don't think it's interfering with our daily life, there are some things you just haven't processed, be it grief or trauma, eating disorders, anything. It might be time to work on those things, and I have a solution for you. Therapy. Online therapy by BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I took the brief questionnaire online where there were, I don't know, 20 questions. It didn't take long at all, maybe 3 minutes. And then I got matched with a therapist who could help me work on whatever. I picked trauma because even though it happened in 2001, I am somehow still not over the loss of my friend on 9/11. And it is what it is. BetterHelp is going to help. And I am so excited, especially because with my special code, instead of $80 a month, it is 10% off, $72 a month, which is so much less than traditional therapy. And you'll get a perfect therapist for you. There are 35,000 therapists to choose from, so you'll find the right one. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/momsdonthavetime today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/momsdonthavetime. Okay, I needed that.
It's hard.
I did a big purge of stuffed animals a while ago.
You did.
But I had my son, so my son like loves taking pictures. So I had him take a picture of all of them.
We made it into
one of those iPhoto, like
brilliant
Apple books.
Yes.
I had him like write little descriptions.
Brilliant.
This is blah, 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 and I got him at blah, blah, blah. And I just like got rid of all the
that
stuffed
is
animals.
Brilliant.
Except for a couple. But now we at least have a record of them.
No. But that's all you need.
Of course, now 100 more popped up. They like come from everywhere. It's like, I don't know where all the stuffed animals come from.
I know.
But at least that batch was.
But that's a great idea. I think taking a picture of it also, because a lot of times you like, I like there's some adorable sweater or something or like,
right,
that, you know. But if you take a picture, all you want is the memory that's associated with it. So a picture is just as good as the thing itself and probably better because if it's put away, you're not going to get a whole bunch of clothes out, but you might easily flip through. You could be like on a Saturday afternoon, oh, let's look at this book that we made together. Like it would be really fun.
Yeah.
And he could keep it forever. There's no way, like, by the time he goes to college, he's not going to have the 50 stuffed animals. Something will have happened to them at some point. So this way you really know that it's actually a safer way to safeguard the memories.
I have 6 years between my older kids and my two little kids.
Yeah.
And I was saving all the stuff.
Yeah.
And after like 2 years, I was like, literally 4 years from now, I'm not going to remember where I put those boots.
Yes.
Like, I can't keep these. Like, by that time, I will buy like $20 boots from Amazon, and I am not going to like have the mental energy of trying to track down the boots.
Sure. And you won't remember in time.
And I won't remember in time.
But also, that's in the book, I talk about the someday someone rationale, which is that someday someone will want this book.
Exactly.
Someday someone. And it's like, but will they think of it in the right time and in the right place? I mean, this literally happened to me last night. Okay, I just read this book about outer order. You think my house would be outer order, to the extreme, which it is not. So it's up in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep with it. Okay, I'm going to go clean out our utility closet. And in it, there were like 6 giant plastic bags that I guess we got when we bought some like a car seat or something, some huge plastic bag, which I had clearly kept thinking, these could really come in handy. And I looked at them and they take up a lot of room because they're just these giant plastic bags. And I was like, well, should I get rid of them? But they could really come in handy. And I was like, except for the fact that I have not used them and did not even know that they were here for maybe a decade. You know, I can get rid of these things. So this someday someone will want to use this giant plastic bag. It's like, maybe not. Yeah. And if you've had it for a long time and never used it, then you know that someday someone isn't using it because you're not using it at all.
The other tip that I use that you put in your book, I had this unfortunate experience of having to go through a friend of mine's possessions who had passed away.
Oh, that's
at a young
so
age.
Hard.
And so
oh,
when
that's
I was
really hard.
But now I have this eye to my stuff. Like, if I'm going to make somebody clean out this stuff when I die, do I want them to have to go through this?
Yes.
Like, is this worth keeping?
Yes.
And so it makes it easier to toss. So when I read that in your book, I was like, that's what I do.
because the fact is somebody's going to have to deal with
someone
it at some point.
If not, I mean, it won't be me. But still.
There's nothing like, you know, stuff jammed under the bed or like weird closets that nobody ever goes into. No, I mean, I think, you know, once you're a grown-up and people start losing their parents, it's a huge issue for some people because their parents have, like, an attic, a basement, a 2-car garage, 3 bedrooms. They're in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, the amount of stuff that can accumulate is just – and then it's so much to deal with at a time when you're really in shock and grief. I'm really lucky. Both my parents and my in-laws both – really, and I think some people do this as kind of like a maturation thing where they just get to the stage where they just really want to get rid of a lot of stuff. And so both of them really have households that everything is used. It's like maybe they have china, but it's like we actually use this at Christmas or, you know, here's this. There's no like mystery, like collections of things or. So I feel really lucky because they wouldn't.
Yeah.
There's nothing to sort through. We'd have to decide what to do with it, but it's not like, what is this? Or, you know, what's the significance of this thing? Yeah.
And your other tip, and I'll stop throwing all these tips back, but they're so useful.
Oh, that's
not
so
having too many of one thing.
Yes, like stockpiling.
When I get a whole new, I'm like, I can never find a hair thing. I'm just going to buy like 3 goodie packages of those things.
Yeah.
And then I'll never lose them.
Yeah.
And now somehow, like, they all disappear.
Yes.
But when I have the one left,
yes.
I don't lose it.
Isn't that weird?
I don't know how that happens.
It is the strangest
thing. I take such good
care
of it. I don't lose the one.
Yeah.
But when I have too many, forget it.
That's the thing, like AirPods.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, don't get a backup pair because, you know, you'll never be able to find any. One,
sunglasses,
it's like,
sunglasses. Like you said,
one pair of sunglasses. Yeah.
So.
No, it's funny how that is. There's a lot of things that are kind of counterintuitive where you think, it'd be easier to keep track of 3, but it's like, it's actually harder to keep track of 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, anyway, so the book had amazing tips.
And, oh, good, good, good.
Some validated things I did, some
good,
new, new ones too. Especially like coming up with new language for things, like trying to make things sound better.
Yes.
Like, ugh, I have a zillion emails to get through.
Yes.
Like rephrase it and say like,
it's engagement time.
Yeah.
I'm getting engaged with, yeah. No, it's funny. It's like somebody who said, would you rather play piano or practice piano? It's like, I would rather play piano. That sounds much more fun.
Yeah. It's all in the framing.
It's
all,
it's funny. I mean, I'm surprised by how often the reframing really does affect the way people view something. It's just kind of crazy.
I feel like that's sort of the mission almost of all your books, right? You're reframing life in a way that makes it like the best version it could possibly be.
Yeah.
Like you, by analyzing it or like, you know, coming up with tips or methods, or it's like you're categorizing.
I do have a categorizing mind. Like I love to like label things and put things. People are like, I don't like to have everything in a box. And I'm like, I like to have everything in a box. Like,
yeah.
Are you an abundance lover or a simplicity lover? Yeah. Are you an overbuyer or an underbuyer? Are you a morning person or a night person? I love that kind of thing. Yeah.
I feel like sometimes when things in the world are out of control, which they are, I don't mean today. I mean, in general, like life is out of our control. But the things you can control.
Yes.
Things like in your home and things in your environment.
Yeah.
Your bulletin board. Like, that's something that we can do that.
Well,
and that's what I feel like you empower all your readers to do. It's like,
well, it's interesting because a lot of people have said, because there's kind of a moment, just, you know, you work on a book for so long, you kind of don't know the moment in which your book is going to come out. And but this is a time where everybody, people seem particularly interested in clutter clearing, which is fortunate for me. And several people have said, well, why do you think that is? And I think it's for exactly the reason that you say. I think people feel like everything's changing very fast. They feel very overwhelmed by kind of like information and news and just like things being uncertain and just feeling like there's just a lot of noise. And then it's sort of like, well, I can't control the world.
Right.
I can't control the future, but I can control my bulletin board. And I can make that feel make me feel calmer. And I think for outer order does contribute to inner calm. And so people are doing it as a way to just get more self-mastery by feeling like, you know, they just feel better in their environment. And I, you know, sometimes people think that kind of thing is sort of selfish or self-centered. But in fact, what research shows, and I think it's obvious from everyday life, is that when people feel happier, more energized, more focused, then they're actually more willing to engage in the world and in the problems of other people. It's not like being happy and calm makes you want to drink margaritas on the beach. It makes you want to go like register people to vote, you know?
Right.
When then people who are less happy and more stressed tend to kind of get isolated and defensive and they're just dealing with their own problems. And so the idea that it's a waste of your time to clean out your coat closet, I get it. It sounds trivial. I totally get that. And yet, there is a connection where I think if somebody feels like their household is really what they want it to be and very calm, that would actually allow them to turn outward into the world more effectively.
Hmm. That's an interesting way to think of people being of service to others by first. It's like, take, you know.
It's, well, I mean, so many people quote to me that line about put on your own oxygen mask first.
Right, yes.
And I think the reason that people say that all the time is it like it really does work as a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
People get it. It's like, you can, you know, if you're trying too hard to help other people, like everybody can suffer for that.
Yeah.
Instead of like first me, then you, and we can both be fine.
So I have to say your website is like the best website I've like ever
got. Oh, that's so nice
to hear.
It's
so well organized.
Oh, thank you.
You can sort like by topic of your blog, by topic of your podcast. You have quizzes, you have pamphlets. Like there's nothing you couldn't get out of this website. I spent all the time on it and I was like,
oh, that's
I need
so nice
a
to hear.
Website like this. So like, are you like the architect behind the sections, like, or maybe this goes to your need for categorization and things, but.
Well, it's, I'm so, thank you so much because, oh my gosh, a lot, I have spent a lot of time on that. So when I started my blog, like, I don't know, such a long time ago, maybe 14 years ago, or I can't even remember now. I started it and I did it myself. I literally built it on, it wasn't even WordPress. What was the other one I used? I wasn't even on WordPress at that point. So long, it was a long time ago and I built it myself and I updated it. But then at a certain point, I'm like, I need somebody to help me design it. And so I feel really fortunate in that I started small and then just kind of evolved to a bigger and bigger stage. And I think one thing about all the social media stuff is sometimes when you're coming in new and you see what people have built, you're like, oh my gosh, I have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it seems just so overwhelming and how could I do this and this and this and have all this going? And the fact is for something like my website, it's really gone through 8 major redesigns. And but each time building with so much content and so much stuff already built in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it is horrible every time. It's like renovating your kitchen. It's
right.
Like, what's the latest thing? What are we trying to accomplish here? What's different from what it was in the past? Like, what do people coming in from the outside expect? It's really, really, really hard to do. But I feel like, because I'm always building on something that's already been mostly done, it's a lot easier than it would be if I had just decided, like, starting tomorrow, like, I should just build all these resources. And
it's also great how you link within each thing. So, like, you'll have a blog post and you'll reference a quote from one of your podcasts. It's like so great. It's just like the whole thing is like enmeshed. It's like this web of like of Gretchen Rubin content in every way. It's like amazing.
That's so great. That's so nice to hear. Well, I think it's my legal training, because one thing as a lawyer that they teach you is you just have to have a citation for everything. So I'm constantly feeling like I need to be like, that's where I said that. That's where that is. You can look up this term here. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, oh, that's funny. So that's so nice.
I appreciate that. It's
inspiring. That's good. No one's commented on the site in a long time. So I'm glad that you appreciate it. I'll have to tell the people who helped, who like designed it, because a lot of thought went into it.
On your site, it shows that you're selling two things that I wanted to ask you about. One is a happiness project, one sentence journal for mothers, and the other is the 21-day project, Stop Yelling at My Kids.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So tell me what those are.
So the one-sentence journal for mothers. So one of the things I found in the Happiness Project is that a lot of people have a desire to keep a journal. There's sort of like a very strong impulse in a lot of people to keep a journal. But when I know that feeling, and then I have the thing that many people have, which is like by week two of January, you've stopped keeping your journal. You know, you like love buying, going out and buying it and starting it, and then you don't keep it. And so the idea of the one-sentence journal is that you can just write one sentence. And one sentence, turns out, is enough to kind of scratch that itch. And then also one sentence brings back a lot. It's like looking at one photograph can kind of bring back a whole host of memories. If you write a sentence, I think it works even more. So the one-sentence journal for mothers is because after I created a general one-sentence journal, but a lot of people were saying, oh, I'm using this kind of in my family life. I'm like writing down a funny thing my kid says, or I'm writing down a highlight of the day, or I'm keeping it for a child thinking like, I'm going to give this to him when he goes to college, or it somehow was related to their identity as a mother. And so we thought, oh, we'll create one that's just for mothers. And it's so fun because when I go on book tour, a lot of times people will bring me and show me them. And you can see like the different ink on different days and how sometimes their handwriting is kind of changing. And so that's really fun. So that's the one sentence journal for mothers. And it's kind of a keepsake thing. And then the 21-day project is, because I do love like 21 days.
Yeah.
It's what a lot of people said, because I'm always like, what's your happiness stumbling block? Like, what's dragging you down? A lot of people say, like, I just spend too much time yelling at my kids. I want to be more patient. I want to build systems so that we don't have to have all this screaming and shouting. I don't want to feel like so drained that I have no wherewithal, that I can keep my sense of humor. And so this is a project where you can sign up for it. And then every day for 21 days, it's like one tip of something to think about. And it's all things that you can do without a lot of time, energy, or money, which most people, you know, feel like they don't have enough time, energy, or money. So it's just very practical ideas to help you manage yourself more, whether that's something like getting more sleep yourself. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who's got a very, very big job as a journalist, and she said, she works really long hours, and she was saying, like, one of the most important times of her day was the morning with her sons, because she often didn't see them very much at night, except, you know, on the weekends she would always be with them. But during the day, the morning was actually her most kind of intense time with her sons. And she said they just spent all the time yelling and complaining. And she realized what she needed to do was get up a half an hour earlier. Mm-hmm. So she could have her coffee, get dressed in a leisurely way, kind of let herself wake up, because she realized she was scrambling, they were scrambling, you know. And then when she was up a half an hour, then by the time they got up, then she was ready to just kind of help and chat. And that one little thing that wasn't very hard for her to do, for some people that would be really hard to get up a half an hour earlier. For her, that wasn't the problem. She said it completely transformed her relationship with her children, because they just had such a more peaceful engagement on just a day-to-day basis. It's not like they were, you know, it wasn't like something that would haunt them for their whole lives. It was just a pain.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad way to start the day
with
your mom yelling at you or yelling at your kids.
This book, How to Be a Happier Parent by KJ Dillon.
Yeah, I know KJ.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
She has something, there was some similar suggestion.
Well, she's got a farm, too.
Well, that was,
Gosh, yeah. She's got a lot going on. I'm like, that's Parent Olympics. Yeah, no, she's very much on like, man, just like keep it to a place where you can stay calm.
I feel like this would be a good Mother's Day gift, this one sentence for moms.
Oh,
like
I'm yes, good.
Stock up on those.
It's fun. It is fun.
My mom friends. So what is coming next for you? You have this book coming out.
Yeah.
You're going on tour soon.
I'm going on tour, which I love. I love. Some writers don't like to go on tour, but I love getting to meet people. And we also, I have a podcast with my sister called Happier with Gretchen Rubin, and we have 4 live events coming up, which is very exciting. So we've done 2 before, but this is like a tour, and we have like a tour manager, so we're feeling extremely official. And
wow.
Yeah. So that's fun. And I did a pledge show for WETA. I just recorded that, so that'll be fun. That's coming out in June. That was a whole new thing to do, so that was exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what advice would you have for aspiring writers?
So my advice is to know what you want to say. Because this seems like a very obvious thing, but often people want to write, but they don't really know exactly what they're going to say. And then it's very, very hard to write. But whenever you feel kind of stuck, if you just get just go for a walk and think, what am I trying to communicate? And then even just write down what you're trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it much, much easier. Whenever I'm having trouble writing, it's usually because I don't really know what I want to say. And I'm just trying to kind of fake my way through it. Another thing, this is for aspiring writers, right?
Yeah.
One thing that I've noticed.
If you have something else.
No, but this is one thing I've noticed, and I would be curious if you've run into this too. More often than I would expect, and this isn't for fiction writers, this is a nonfiction writer because I'm a nonfiction writer. I'll meet somebody who I don't really know, so you know, I'm starting to talk to them, and they're like, oh, I'm going to write a book about XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a lot, and I will often be like, oh, is it like this book? Or, you know, what about that book? And how does it relate? And they're like, oh, I don't know about that book. If you are writing a book in nonfiction, you should acquaint yourself with the other books that are kind of related to your book, and either read them or have a view of them or know them. But if someone is speaking to you about your own subject and you have not read the like obvious books about it, it's like you don't have to read something from the 14th century. But if a book came out 3 years ago on your subject and you haven't read it, it just makes you seem
unprofessional,
unprepared, and not curious. And what you want from somebody who's written a book is somebody who's just like loves their subject so much that they just can't get enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like, you can't be bothered to read a book that was a bestseller 3 years ago, I just question like how sincere your interest is in your subject and therefore how deep your thoughts, your perception, your analysis is going to be. So read and think about what you want to say.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on Moms No Time to Read Books. I really appreciate
it. It's so much fun to talk to you.
You too. Today's episode was sponsored by CerialBox, CerialBox.com. CerialBox.com, delivering addictive book content in short listen or read installments. Thanks to Ryan and Steve at Texture Sound for the audio editing and mixing. Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.